Hi, my name's Sean Shaler. That's my friend Chris Ford, a.k.a. The Objective Geek, and it's just now occurring to me that I did not warn him that I was starting, but he looks like he's handling it very well. Looks like, yeah, he's got it. Welcome to Avatar The Last Podcasters. I almost forgot our podcast name. I'm really tired today for some reason. Chris, how are you? What have you been up to? How you been?
I've been pretty good, you know. I feel like I've had a lot of random issues lately. I can't think of it on top of my head, but every now and then the world happens and it's like, I don't know, you have epiphanies that restructuralizes the world or reconstructs the world for you. So I want to reset your mind. It's like, okay.
But it's really funny that you can't think of it as I have this life changing experience, but that was last week.
Oh, I would say life changing. It's just. Just like
so yesterday.
Like sometimes I get just bogged down with like, not bogged down. This sounds more depressing than it is. It's not bogged down. It's just like, even overwhelmed is not the right word to say. But just strategizing, how can the world be better? And it's like, there are some things happening. It's like, okay, that. So many of these things are beyond, like when the world feels overwhelmed and it's like.
Which it do right now. It do.
Like what the heck do we do? And then like the simplest thing is like, just keep going. Just keep trying. Like your little bit of efforts and your little bit of empathy. It's all you have to do. All you have to hold yourself to.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just got to. You just got to make one choice at a time, and you can't think too hard about, like, how do I word this? You can't look at the big picture like, man, this is all the things it takes to be a good person. It's like, no, you kind of just have to hit it one thing at a time, or you will drive yourself insane. You just one good choice the choice is presented to you, or you'll go nuts, especially right now.
Yeah, and then I think part of that was also I was thinking, because a character that I was randomly thinking of that I'm not sure we'll ever even get to, but just like a, like, can the concept of like, you know, too much of anything is bad, but like, what if I had too much empathy? If I had too much empathy, I would go freaking nuts. If I like connected and watched every single story and connected with every single person suffering and stuff in the world and felt it in my own self of true empathy, that would be terribly overwhelming. Like you gotta sometimes bring stuff back to you.
I am well, and this is your fault. Fault's negative. This is your doing. That still sounds negative. Anyway, Heather and I, our current show, we are rewatching Scrubs because we want to watch the new season.
Yeah,
and you know, it's like once a season, probably that Dr. Cox will give that speech of like. You have to separate yourself from the patients because if you drive yourself nuts, you're not good to any patient.
Yes. You're not going to last here.
I did my master's, not thesis, what is it called? Thesis? Maybe it is a thesis. I can't remember what it's called. But my master's thing, the big project, the big paper. Doctor's dissertation. So master's must be a thesis.
Dissertation.
No, that's a doctor. Wrong. That's bigger than me. Okay. But I did it on charitable fundraising, but burnout, right? And the idea is that people get these big ambitions, or I focused a lot on recurring payments, was kind of becoming a big thing at that time. Like, hey, pledge this month per month. And people have big hearts and they do that and then they get to bad places and they just stop being good people. They don't like reduce it, Chris. They just cut it off. Like they stop giving altogether. It's like, well, now you're not helping anybody just because you kind of went into it with maybe too big of ambitions and didn't really have solutions. I was mostly just demonstrating that was the thing that happened, that burnout, and this is how it manifests. So long story short, you gotta like separate yourself a little bit to be useful or good to anybody ever.
Yeah. Speaking of Scrubs, this is some type of Sean, I love Scrubs. It is, missing my top five. I'll be top three favorite TV shows of all.
All shows or live action?
I know. Yeah, I was trying to, like, comedy-wise, it's either one or two. It's Community and Scrubs.
Okay.
And so, huge fan of Scrubs. I've seen it all. It's on my rewatch list.
The annual, well, not even annual, just the regular. It's in the rotation.
Yeah. And I knew Scrubs was coming back. I've listened to the podcast, Fake Dark's Real Friends, with Zach Braff and Donna Faison, who plays Turk and JD. I love that podcast, one of my favorite podcasts. And I knew they would come back with Scrubs. And I was like, man, this show will probably be fine, and it'll probably be good. And that's all I kind of needed to be, and that's all I expect to be. And somehow, those miraculous bastards made it feel like nothing.
Community reference.
They somehow made it feel like we just picked up from where season 8/9 left off. Like, it feels like it really, it, I don't know how they did it. I don't know how, like, I'm watching the show, I'm just like, oh, this is just like I'm watching the episode of Scrubs. Like, it's just, it doesn't even feel like I'm watching a revival. It's weird. It's, I don't get it, and I'm fine not getting it and just going with it and enjoying it. I'm not saying it's like amazing, but it's Scrubs, which that itself is an amazing accomplishment.
I think that of all the shows that have attempted comebacks, if you could give that similar compliment to any of them, they would be really grateful.
Yeah.
Because you probably can't. No, that's great. Yeah. It's like picking up a conversation with like a good old friend. You just pick right back up and it feels comfy. I'm excited for it. I don't know how I'm going to watch it, but I'm excited for it. I'll figure it out. Buy it on Vudu or whatever. Hulu?
It's on Hulu?
Chris, the only things we have now are the things we share with you. That could be one of those things that we're just... We had Disney Plus, ESPN, and Hulu with my sister for a couple of years. Out of... circling back to previous comments. Out of the goodness of my heart, Chris, I hate subscription services. She really wanted something, but she didn't want to afford it. So I did it like out of pity. I was like, fine, we'll split it with you. So I did have those for like 3 years. And then finally she dropped it because she's having a baby. So she didn't want to pay half anymore. I was like, well, I'm not going to cover the whole thing. That's ridiculous. Your baby can watch antenna shows like I did. Still exist. I might just like buy it on Prime or Vudu or something if it's good. So we have
it's only 9 episodes per man this first season.
Okay. But there's plans for more beyond?
I would guess so. You just don't come back with the season and not spend. And also, it's been successful, too. Like, critically and viewer-wise, it's been pretty successful.
Have you seen those actors in other things that, like, since then that change how you look at those actors and actresses, though, just, like, a little bit? Or are they still primarily, they're still Scrubs people to you, no matter what else?
No, they're still Scrubs people. Like, I haven't seen... Donald Faison in too much, seeing a couple different things.
TV commercials.
It's funny. That thing is the thing. That's them. That's the, like, that is, like, those two are best friends. And they're best friends on the podcast and they're best friends on the show. It doesn't, Sarah Chalk, who plays Elliot, she's been in a couple different things. I saw her in How I Met Your Mother, and no, she's still Elliot.
She is actually why I asked that question, because she plays the bad guy in the show I like, Psych. She's the bad guy in one of the three made for TV movies, and it's just weird. She's still a nurse in it, funnily enough, and they even make like a Scrubs reference like on purpose in a funny way, but then she turns out to be a bad guy. It's just weird and hard to sell. I'm like, no, she's not a bad guy. Get out of here.
I would say this, you may hate, and this isn't a big spoiler, they do break up
of course they do.
Elliot and JD.
Of course they do.
I understand story-wise why they gotta do it. Because you can't have, like, you gotta have tension. You gotta have conflict.
Find your tension and your conflict somewhere else. That's Chris Scrubs. Scrubs is in my top. It's in my top five comedies, and it's probably in my top five live action. But it could be so much higher if they never, as they're in their relationships in the show, they never learn. None of them ever learn or grow as a relationship partner. They do as doctors and as people, not as relationship partners. They're always all pieces of shit, all of them. And I hate that part of the show.
No, not all of them. Just those two, I think.
Turk is always stupid, and Carla is always too demanding. And I guess Dr. Cox, weirdly, it romantically probably has like the best progress as a partner. That's weird to think about. I'll keep that in mind as I rewatch this time, but they just, like, romantically, they're all, like, statically bad, and that's just something I don't care for, but whatever.
I do think the Dr. Cox and Jordan relationship is the best. Like, they get to a certain point where, because, you know, they're broken up, then they slowly get back together. They're still divorced, but they're together. And, like, she gets pissed off at him because he's wearing his wedding ring. And he's like, oh, yeah, I found it.
And he ruins it.
I decided to put it on. He's like, and she's like, no, you don't do that. Why are you doing that? And then eventually he's like, Jordan, as much as I forgot all the, like, the little, like, digs that he used to have at her. It's like, oh, wow, it is kind of on the level of oh, my gosh, why am I blanking on Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Hope versus Wunsch. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, probably, just the insults.
Probably Wunsch and Holt, they're like heavy-handed on purpose, and these feel like more sharp Barbie kind, I guess?
Yeah. But eventually he gets to the point where he's like, listen, Jordan, we can pretend that we don't love each other, but we do. And I'm tired of pretending, so that's great growth there.
To me, is like an interesting look at relationships developing in different ways, in non-nuclear ways, essentially, and still being completely valid, possibly even loving relationships. And there's actual growth there. They, like, change and adapt in good ways throughout the show. Anyway, I do love Scrubs. Despite those things that I hate, it is such a good show that it still ranks very highly in my rotation.
I know how much you hate those things, so that does say a lot.
I think this is my fourth watch through in probably 4 or 5 years. So, like, that's where it lives, and it's a 9-season show because I watched the extra one.
I
also.
Like nine.
It's completely fine. Ooh. Other than I really don't like what's his face as an actor. I'm sure he's a fine person. Franco,
James Franco.
Yeah, I'm not like fond of him as an actor. But
I like him in comedies a lot. I think he's pretty good.
I'm sure he's a good dude. Maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, no, I even watched that season. That's a big.
He's married to Allison Brie.
Oh, no kid. I had no idea. That's awesome. Community, who also, the what's her name, makes one episode appearance as Abed's FBI girlfriend in Community.
True.
Which brings us back to Avatar when he's like, where were you 2 weeks ago or whatever, the bootleg. It's one of my favorite moments. No, he's clean. Just this bootleg copy of Avatar The Last Airbender.
The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah. Honk twice if you, or blink the lights twice if that's a yes or what. That's a cute episode. I'm glad it's good, though. That's really comforting. I think so far my favorite comeback story has been like Animaniacs and Futurama on Hulu were fine. And I'm pretty sure that's my language the whole time. It's just been that they're like, I'll watch them and they're fine. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. Futurama does not pick back up where it left off. Well, they sound different. I can't describe it. They all sound older and slower. Everything feels like a little more deliberate. It does not pick back up well. Animaniacs kind of did. It was, they surprisingly felt the same.
I never loved the Animaniacs enough to watch the new one. I think my son actually loves watching some of the random clips of it.
I loved Animaniacs. I like that variety show format. Yep, it was a childhood favorite. If I had access to all of it, Chris, that would be my, that would be in my rotation. If I could access Animaniacs. Anyway, that's cool. Chris, you've been rewatching Scrubs as well, or you're done with your rewatch?
No, right now I'm in the middle of watching Smallville. Almost done with that. Then after that, I did have a Scrubs rewatch about maybe 8 months ago, and I just didn't finish it for some reason. But now I'm going back and I'll rewatch it after I'm done with my Smallville rewatch.
I think I told you, I don't remember if I told everybody else, that I'm almost done with my Bob's Burgers watch. And as much as I enjoy it, I just want to note that it's background noise when I watch it, because I can't really stand to look at it. But I like the characters and what they're saying and the stories and the shenanigans they get into. I just hate that animation so much. God, it's ugly. But otherwise, it's so wholesome and so nice, and I really like the show. I don't think it can make the rotation, because I've never had a TV show that I treated like baseball, where I'm like, I'll let this on in the background. That's it. I did love Night of the Nine Kingdoms, and I'm going to go ahead and call it Night of the Nine Kingdoms, because that's funny. I did love that. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, great show. Oh, my gosh.
That was great. That was the greatest Game of Thrones universe thing yet, period. I'll die on that hill.
I mean, I think it's better than House of the Dragon. I mean, it's hard to say. Like, Game of Thrones was so freaking... I think for you, yes, I understand. Because of your taste of the thing. But, man, Game of Thrones, those... Game of Thrones could have been, if it just ended, just the last two episodes better.
I agree entirely. I don't think the whole last season is as bad as everybody likes to make it out to be.
Yeah.
And it's a visual spectacle, unlike we had probably never really seen from a TV show at that time. It is a spectacle. Night of the Seven Kingdoms is a delightful little narrative. Delightful narrative.
What's the moment? A moment where, like, Egg, it's like people used to say, like, I'm weak, and then Dunk is like, people used to say I was dumb, and Egg is like, okay, so what you do? What I do about what? What'd you do when people said you were dumb? That's my problem. What do you like? Why do you concern for how I? I saw my problems.
That Titan's Nest guy that does the videos with the let's give him yes, that guy. His Night of the Seven Kingdoms one of that is really good. And like he starts it off, he's like, the protagonist, let's give him severe diarrhea, yes. That's like how he leads it. But that was before I had watched any of it yet. So I was like, what the hell is Chris recommending to me?
No, first, I was like, what is this show? Yeah. Like, what are we doing here? Like, the first 5 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the first episode, I wasn't, hooked in there. But...
I'm going to say first half episode. I was already hopeful because he said it's good, and you every time you recommend me something with sincerity... To me and not as a show, you're always spot on. So I knew it was going to get good. But the first, half of the first episode, I was like, it's a little wonky on the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
The protagonist. Let's give him severe diarrhea, yes. I sent you one today of that guy, but I don't know if it made it through. It looked weird in the Google chat. But I tried to send it to you and Barry. And it's just one that he put out today, and it's just him complimenting you, like you, the watcher. It's really cute.
I'll have to watch that one.
I don't know if it came through in the chat. I tried to start a chat with you and Barry, and I don't know if it actually... It says empty group, so I don't think it worked. But it's literally just him complimenting you, the watcher, and it's pretty precious. Chris, let's talk about today's topic, which we haven't even introduced yet. We're going to do what if Aang...
Oh, wait. Oh, one second.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's related to Avatar. I have two things about airbenders that I will die on a hill thinking of this opinion. Although I understand, and I've said this before, springtime feels like airbender time. Like right now, I just went in the backyard. It's freaking wind blowing, thunderstorms everywhere. I feel like, oh yeah, I just feel the wind. Like I feel, it's not even blowing hard, but I can smell it. I can envision it. I feel the air in the atmosphere. Also, airbenders should be able to lighten then. I am very, very adamant about that. They can control the temperature of the air, just create warm air, cold air. They should be able to create lightning in some sense of the matter. But
I think it makes a lot of sense that firebenders, that really good firebenders, would be more like laser beams, right? Like super concentrated heat. And the airbenders would be lightning in the atmospheric sense of essentially tearing air apart really quickly and creating lightning traveling through the path of least resistance. That makes a lot of sense to me, but the word laser bending sounds stupid, so we would probably have to come up with something different for the firebenders. Laser bending.
I mean, I do get that, like, lightning is like plasma, which fire is also a weird... Actually, fire isn't even...
it's not a substance, weird. Yeah. It's just temperatures. In the words of Dimitri Martin, you're nothing but a shape and a temperature.
But anyway, those are my hills to die on.
Right. Isn't lightning really... It's just the air being separated really quickly and large amount of electricity traveling along the path of least resistance or something like that, right? It's very much air. The air, yeah. So anyway, nope, I agree entirely. I let Charlie out to pee, and I can see the storms out your way. They're probably like at your house right now,
which is weird because like they're farther west than I am. Maybe looking at different, maybe it's, I don't know, split up or something. I don't know because like I'm got no rain, but there's a bunch of those storms west of me and north of me, and like it is just light show out there, but I'm not hearing any thunder, so I'm like, oh, it must be farther away than I think it is. But
it looks clear for a long, long ways and then storm, so I feel like we're probably looking at the same thing. Yeah, there's lightning all over. It smells, you can kind of smell the grass, like the moisture on the grass and the breeze and the storm. And in a way, it kind of reminds me of smelling glass, not because it smells the same, but just because there's like a crisp coolness to the smell. If you can smell a temperature, that's it feels like that.
Yeah. All right, now we're ready. 25
minutes in, we're ready to roll. Chris, what if Aang had learned some, had gotten to study some bending techniques and had gotten some avatar training? Let's say a year. Say he'd gotten a year of, he's too young to be learning this stuff. But we have, nope, you know what? He's the Avatar and times are crazy. We've got our experts here. We brought them here to the Air Temple, and he's got a year of at least, we can finagle with the firebending, but he at least has some earthbending and some waterbending under his belt. Maybe he didn't get to firebending, or maybe he did. But he's got base level experience in those bending types. What if he had that? And then everything else up to the point of him being overwhelmed with what he's being faced. The people spend a year shoving this in his face. Like, hey, we got to teach you this because you got to save the world. And that's a little overwhelming.
You know, I mean, she's probably too old to teach. But the other firebender who's friends with Mugiatso is Tamin. So, I mean, she could at least teach him the basics even though she's old. She's also a secret agent, you know. She could teach him the art of spycraft and whatnot, and scaling buildings.
Apparently, She is the she's the Gazan of her time, Chris. No one thinks.
I like her in the book. There was just some things I was just like, this is ludicrous.
She seems like she's in it for. I want to like her as a character that I'm going to say. I think she's in it for the greater good. So let's say it's not a horrible stretch that she would help her old friend Gyatso train up the next airbender in the ways of firebending. It doesn't feel like a huge stretch.
And also,
with the information
I mean,
we have.
Aang is her. I mean, it's like Katara training Katara. I'm sorry. It's like Katara training Korra. Like, that is the love of your lives, next life. Like, you're going to be connected to that person. Mm-hmm. And want them you want to help them out as much as you can.
Yeah, I'm down with that. He's got some base level experience in all the elements. He's a real good airbender, and he knows how to bend those other things. And again, he got a whole year of people shoving it in his face that he's got to have to save the world, so he still gets overwhelmed, and he still panics. He still goes and gets frozen in an iceberg for exactly 100 years. And now he comes out.
What if he's trained by Maki Tuk? Is that her name?
Maki Tuk. That'd be a cool waterbending teacher.
Yeah, she knows how to spirit bend.
Yeah, and obviously the spiritualism side is something that he clings to pretty naturally. Are we giving Roku novels too much credit by tossing two bones in one episode? We're trying too
I'm
hard.
Just trying to think of like... Well, who would his waterbending teacher be? And who would his firebending teacher be? I don't know. Earth. We just grabbed the other person from Earth.
It seems like water-air-nation relationships would probably be fine, and then Earth-nation probably strained just because of the way the Earth-nation is, and then firebending, fire-nation probably increasingly strained. But it feels like water would be... an easy one to invent a character for, right? Like, relationship is fine. They're like, hey, we need a master to...
Narrative-wise, Sean, it's a stretch for two old people. That's like if Katara got trained by, I'm sorry. That's like if Korra got trained by Katara, Zuko...
And Toph. She kind of does.
True, she does.
Also, when we talk about Zeto, one of the cruxes of how I don't have this on paper, and you might have a different mindset than me, but to me, one of the things that like makes it convenient for him to be a vigilante and not under like super scrutiny is that his in-house masters are all just ancient, just the oldest people the Fire Nation could scrape up and be like, yeah, train the kid in these other stupid elements, and they don't. They're not invested. They're too old. They're like, I wonder what he's up to tonight. Like, nope, they're in bed. And that's my little plot convenience to get him out the house. They never travel with him, Chris. They're not going to travel. They're too old for that. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. It's just something I've mulled around.
So, yeah, he could be trained by all these old people.
Yeah. And
I don't know the earthbender one, but whatever.
I don't either. That one, Tommen, we've got a nice start there. Maki Tuk would be cool. I'm sure there's one good Earth Nation person out there who's like, no, it Avatar is more important than this mass expanse of desert that we have to keep control over. I'll go help out and eat vegetarian food for a while, and it'll be weird. Do you think they get to bring their own food in? Because that would be tough. So, yeah. So Aang comes out of the iceberg, and he's not a master of those elements, but he's got something. Does anything change?
I thought you were saying, like, what if he was trained and then didn't get trapped in the iceberg?
I think he's still completely overwhelmed by the pressures and weights of the world and increasing bad political stuff going on. And he's still just like way too young for this. Like, Yatsa's right.
Yeah.
He just lost the argument. And Aang's like, I'm not ready to save the world.
So, Book One Aang out the iceberg. Katara gets him out. All that's the same. Mm-hmm. He just has some training on the four elements.
I gotta say, I honestly couldn't think of a whole lot that changed until maybe the finale. That's the first time where there's like kind of, of book one. Because that's the first time where there's kind of very, like, more intense combat from Aang's side, where I feel like he would benefit from those other elements. I did have a hard time thinking of anything prior to that that would be super different.
Well, if Aang... Well, he doesn't need to go to the North Pole, because he knows waterbending. I assume since that was his next element, that's probably his second.
That's a great point. I wouldn't even think about that. I was just thinking about combat. No, that's a great point.
His earthbending, because we didn't establish an earthbending master, probably still needs some work.
Still needs help.
So go to Ba Sing Se, just train with another old person.
But yeah, I think
I do that all the time for some reason. Mess up the two.
I mean, I confuse cities I don't live in all the time. That's fine.
Yeah, just don't get me started on Memphis and Nashville.
Nashville, yeah. That's funny. My parents' home address is Nashville, Kansas, so that's actually one I would probably remember. Tulsa and Oklahoma City, one of those. Same city, probably.
Not the same. I haven't been to Oklahoma City enough to have a real opinion about it, just growing up thinking, like, Tulsa's better. Why aren't we the capital?
I've been to both cities, like, two times, and it was great all four times. No opinion. Okay, so does he still have an excuse to go to the North Pole at all, or is there no more siege up north? Is there no more siege of the North? Or does he go up because there is still a siege of the North? Is that what gets him there?
Well, I don't think there would be a siege of the North, because, like, well, I feel like Zhao stumbled into, like, oh, I'll take over the North. And that was more like a convenience thing to, like, oh, the stars are aligning for me to siege, potentially siege the North. It wasn't like I'm going North. He was preset on capturing the Avatar.
Yeah, he still fell into that.
Yeah.
He makes for a pretty good plot convenience, because he is ambitious and also an idiot. So those two things make him a nice way to move a story along.
Yeah. I mean, I think Aang probably just go to Mushu. Train with King Bumi for a little bit, but with Zuko trailing him, he can't stay in Omashu, like, because that's just too dangerous. Like, he'll draw attention to himself with Zuko and Zhao. So honestly, they probably take over the Fire Nation, probably take over Omashu a little quicker, but Aang escapes. And
also, I think Bumi would still send him on. Bumi be like, hey, you know, I'm a great earthbender and I can teach you this much stuff, but you already know this much stuff. You need this next level sensory mechanism. But to your point, there's more like Fire Nation concentrated on Omashu sooner, because they're just hot pursuit faster in Omashu. Okay, I'm on board.
But no, I think you're right. You still need to seek someone who waits and listens.
So really all that happens in season one is just that we don't have, like, half of the season.
Pretty much. Yeah. I don't think they ever need... Oh, well, Katara needed to learn waterbending.
But now he's with her, and he's already got some training, so...
Yeah. And also, that was, like, convenient for both of them. Both of them are like, oh, we can both get training. If Katara was the only one that needed training, they wouldn't be like, oh, we need to go out of our way for Katara, not the main character, to get training. Like, Katara, it would be nice if she got training. But I can show you some stuff
Yeah. Now, I mean, now Aang's here and Katara's here, as where before they were both starting off the same playing field. Like, no, now, you know, Aang can still be, and he can still have even that sort of the kind of jealousy tension of like, oh, well, let me show you this thing, and he can still pick it up immediately. Yeah, so we really just kind of chop off like half the first season. Is Yue still alive?
Yep.
Nice. No spirit knives. Big loss to the Avatar lore. No spirit.
And yeah, and then they probably had to, bossing say.
It's funny that Yue is still alive, but it doesn't matter because Zuko doesn't meet her, so we don't even have to care. Or sorry, not Zuko, Sokka. So we don't even have to care. It's like, oh, I guess she's alive. Who gives a crap?
Yeah. They probably go back to Ba Sing Se, and Appa probably. Oh, well, they go to the library probably, and Appa probably gets captured. And things at this point.
Is there is really what my thought process was boiling down to, Chris, was there any, because of Aang being the way he is, was there any serious conflicts that have their kind of tide turned by Aang being stronger? You know, does that make the crossroads of destiny different, or because at that time he's still in our new narrative, he's already gotten trained again by Toph and he doesn't know the fire any further yet? Maybe that stays exactly the same.
I wonder what would happen, with Zuko, right? Because I mean, this version of Aang, I think, would more easily handle Zuko, but he still wouldn't like defeat him.
Yeah,
Like, he's
because he
never
never does that
captured Zuko.
anyway. Yeah. Right?
He's
So.
not like, oh, I have to like, even though Zuko is going to be like adamant about capturing him, Aang will never get to a point where like, oh, I'm going to like incapacitate you, or I'm going to put you in jail. Aang doesn't have jail. And so it'll just be him just chasing Aang all the time and Aang beating him. Eventually, they'll piss him off to some extent that he feels like, I don't know, maybe Uncle Iroh's not teaching him enough. And maybe they separate from that.
Would they pose, would the fight where the four of them team up against Azula, would that go any different? Because even then, I mean, it could, but he already is far enough along in his journey at that point in the regular story. Maybe this is the most boring what if ever. Maybe nothing really changes at all except for half of the season is gone, first season is gone.
Yeah, I mean, if they get though to Omashu, and Azula still creeps and takes it over. Honestly, I don't think Aang knowing those other elements is gonna help him that much more against Azula. Azula's just that great of a fighter. And also, Aang still doesn't have Master of the Avatar State
Yeah, that's a big
in this
catch.
case.
In fact, that's kind of a saving grace for him. So maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's funny, the whole time I was thinking of like the Siege of the North probably going differently, but just until I talked to you here, I didn't realize it go differently in the non-existent sense. I was just like, oh, this is an episode, a couple episodes that would definitely go different just by nature of him having some water and earth and firebending knowledge. Yeah, not if they don't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even after North, even after boxing, say, even if you get struck. Oh. But Katara doesn't have healing water if they don't go to the North Pole.
Oh, that's an interesting subset. So now we have to know for sure if the healing water saved his life or healed a wound. Or if like if it, sorry,
I
not
think.
saved his, did it bring him back to life or did it save his life? And we would find out definitively if he died.
I don't think he ever died. I think
I don't
canonically
either.
he couldn't die.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I never understood. I mean, I guess I get Avatar fans confused around it, but I think canonically it would be impossible for him to die in that moment because he would just be reborn. And so,
yeah, like you can't outsmart the spiritual cycle. And
yeah,
that's
unless there's some stillborn child out. Well, now I'm getting dark.
Yeah, that's pretty dark. So put a pin in that idea. Damn,
like a baby was born. And then it was like, nope, he's alive. And then Aang's spirit goes back to Aang's body. And
that poor baby's like, damn it. Poor baby. Man. Yeah, that got dark fast. But so she doesn't have the healing water. But is there some amount of technique that she knows? Or does it just mean he's got like a longer, more treacherous kind of recovery? Maybe there's a bigger recovery gap.
Yeah.
It'd be longer to recover, so then you take out like half of the third season, the first half of the third season as well. So effectively, what this What If has done is cut out 20 episodes.
That's why you make things hard on the character.
That's why we didn't give do characters. That. That's why we didn't. Well, in having to go... Gio probably said it as good as anybody has, that I've ever heard say it, is that that's part of the appeal of Avatar, is that that kind of world gallivanting, and part of what makes that possible is this need to find these bending masters. So it makes a lot of sense. Aang, turns out, yeah. Even if you're, whether you're weak or you're not weak, when you come out of the iceberg, your story doesn't change a whole lot. You just maybe save some time. You're on the front side, you're on the back side. You take your pick, buddy. I now feel silly. I had so much riding on the Siege of the North episode, and just like he would still be able to prevent Yue's death and stuff like that in that episode specifically with those other bending types. I think, right? I think he and Iroh would overcome Zhao in a heartbeat if he had his other bending styles.
Yeah.
And so that episode was going to be the one where like things shifted, but even then it would still just come down to, even if the Siege of the North still happened, probably once he got through Omashu and still needed Toph, Bumi's like, hey, you already know a little. I need you to go next level. Once you meet Toph and you start developing that, and you were already developing water as well, and you weren't ready to go any further with fire for narrative reasons, then it probably still becomes a moot point. Like, it kind of realigns the ripples back into place with the existing story. And although Yue would live and they would have met her and there would still be spirit water, I guess. I wonder how would Katara learn healing bending?
If Aang knows it, then...
Or if Aang hears of it. The library is such a good MacGuffin, because Aang can just be like, I heard about a water healer this one time, and then, let's look in the library, and then boom, there you go. Perfect MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Okay. That's no more What Ifs for me. That was decidedly linear.
Yeah.
Chris, next week, I think... been wanting to revisit an episode, and we touched on the idea of maybe revisiting Korra, episode one. Just try to put ourselves back in that headspace of this brand new IP, this brand new show. And then after that,
you know what's interesting? I went back, and I was like, what was the first trailer like? Like, I don't remember watching the first trailer to Korra. And then I went back and watched the first trailer. I think it was the first trailer. Now, there are some parts that I remember. Like, I remember distinctively her, like, looking over the cliff, like, shoulders like this, and just her eyes and stuff. Now thinking, like, wow, that's really great animation.
I gotta admit, I don't remember a Korra trailer whatsoever.
I mean, you probably don't. You know, I just gave... You only watched Korra when you met me, right? Because I just gave you the... Yeah. Yeah, so you would have never.
Just dove right into the content.
It is funny. I was reading comments from 13 years ago on YouTube, And so it's really interesting to see like a little time vault.
Yeah. A little time dug up a time capsule.
Time capsule, thank you.
Yeah, well, and I just thought it'd be fun to try to get back in that headspace and rewatch those. And then my only fear is that if I rewatch that, well, not fear, because it's a good thing, but if I rewatch that and or if we were to do Avatar episode one after that, that I would just probably start rewatching the whole thing. Which I guess I'm almost done with Bob's Burgers, so that's fine. I can move to the next show in the cycle.
You can watch some inferior animation. Quite the downgrade from Bob's Burgers to Avatar, Korra.
It's a big leap. Let's put it that way. It's a real big leap. I just feel bad. The fans are so passionate, and they are right. The Bob's Burgers fans, they're right. Those characters are lovable and fun, and I just don't want to look at them at all.
It's funny. I just know, like, Mike or Brian Konietzko hated working on Family Guy. Not Family Guy. Oh, I actually think they both were not. Probably hated working on King of the Hill. Because, like, that animation is better than Bob's Burgers. Diff. But even still, he was probably just like, what?
It's very stiff and flat. At least Bob's Burgers is vibrant and flat. King of the Hill is not even vibrant, really. Yeah, they probably did not enjoy that at all. And again, that's not like when I'm watching a comedy, that's not like the only thing. It's just the first time I've ever watched a show where I'm like, man, that's hard to look at. But I'm enjoying it. I'm still enjoying
even it. Everyone has probably seen a clip of the standout clip of the molester burger or something. And like that almost looks like if you had like 2D cutouts of each of them and you just like da-da-da-da, and moved them around and it's just like a profile of some or just a straight headshot of some, like that would be the same thing.
It reminds me of like if you were shooting for like the Cartoon Network late night aesthetic, but you weren't shooting for that on purpose. What that level of
animation, home movies. Have you ever watched home movies on Adult Swim?
It's not familiar to me off the top of my head. Let me do a Google, see if it looks familiar at all.
It is. It is. The character designs are just...
Oh, lazy. Yes. Okay, so I have not watched it. I'm just familiar with it strictly based on this, whatever you want to call this animation style. It looks like a PowerPoint, like drawn by a child. A show that was on
like
for like...
a drunk 15-year-old.
Yeah. Like, some of these look like I wouldn't hang that on my fridge. A show that I was on in college that people thought was going to be big for like a minute and that was bad. And I specifically remember, it's not bad animation. It's pretty detailed. It's just ugly and visceral and not a style I like. It's called Ugly Americans. That's a wonky, but that's not even bad. It's just visceral and kind of a gross way. Kind of flat. No, Chris, home movies might win. That's pretty hard to watch. It's hard to imagine that being on TV. Home movies. Is this an adult show or a kid's show?
It's an adult show.
It's an adult.
It was on Adult Swim.
Okay. Okay. God, that is awful. On purpose. Huh. Anyway. Thanks for... We started off really deep. And now we're talking about bad anime. We did. We started off talking about how to deal with life one step at a time. Now we're talking about home movies. Anyway. Hey, thanks for listening in, everybody. I think we've got like 2 episodes left. And then we have... Comic-Con, right?
Oh, yeah. Shoot, it's coming up.
And Plant Comic-Con. That'll be fun.
I'm working on my cosplay. Maybe it'll be done. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll go as a cheap spirit.
Next cosplay I'm just going as Morty from Rick and Morty. Just throw on a yellow shirt and some jeans and point at people and say, "You son of a bitch, I'm in." That's the whole cosplay. Probably not this time. I don't own a yellow shirt. Yeah, played at Comic-Con. Casey, it's a weekend in the 20s, and it's a date that I definitely have in my calendar. And if you have it in your calendars,
28th?
That sounds right. That sounds right. You should come on out.
We have our panel. It will be at 7:30, I think.
Because you're going to get home at like 11. And we're very old. I just want to remind you that we're very old. Getting home at 11. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Usually you go to Vintage Stock on your way home. Now you're going to have to go to Vintage Stock on your way.
No, I got to get there super early. I'm not sure if we'll swing by your place. Because I want to get this. My daughter wants a autograph him and meet voice actor for Aaron Yeager, yeah, who also voices other stuff she likes. So my plan is to get there super early to knock that out.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Okay.
But
anything else you need to do downtown in betwixt?
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm bringing my Switch 2 with me, okay, so I'll just probably play Yu-Gi-Oh.
Beautiful, beautiful. I will sit next to you and I will also play Yu-Gi-Oh! And it'll be great on my inferior Switch 1.
I feel like I have a lot of downtime. And so I am, there's no one that I need to meet. Hmm? I'm going to meet Paul Dini, I think, who is the creator of Harley Quinn. He was like the head writer on Batman the Animated Series. So I'll probably try to meet him. But other than that,
I'm just kind of chilling. As a general concept, I like downtown Kansas City. Like everything else that you would want to do, mostly just amounts to eating, or like going to the River Market, but which I enjoy. But that's like a whole other set of just hellish parking and parking money and chance. Like, I'm not gonna do that on the same day. That's crazy. Yeah. Far too unmotivated for that. But anyhow, thanks for being here with us, everybody. Hope you have a nice weekend. And if you live in the area and you're coming to play at Comic-Con, we are late. It'll be a late panel, but, you know, come by. Say hi. Win a door prize.
It's always fun.
Win a regular prize. Or don't. It's tough. It's competition's stiff in there. And
oh, yeah, I got a couple of questions.
It's got to come up with, just pull out, Chris, we're just going to play a game of Trivial Pursuit. That's what we're going to do this year.
So, but, well, that'd be hard for me to keep track of.
Listen,
when and we also, play, they give Dan an unfair advantage, so I'm sure, I mean, Dan's already, it probably doesn't increase his chances too much.
It will.
Dan has been practicing, I know that.
It does increase his advantages, but he basically never takes a prize anyway, so he's just taking pride, and you know, it's like, all right, you still get the prize, you know. Yeah, they walk into a trivia panel, and it's just us with a box of Trivial Pursuit cards. I wouldn't argue, man. We didn't.
What symbol on the flag of the Southern Raiders?
Southern,
I believe it's a symbol.
Is it almost swastika like? Is it like red?
Not swastika. Well, it is red.
It's red, but then the emblem, in the middle. Is black, like it's distinctly red with a black icon in a way that makes me think of a Nazi Germany flag.
I think all of our nation flags are red with black.
Is that let me Southern Raiders?
I believe it's like a river bird or a not river bird, a some type of dragon hawk.
You know what's funny is from a distance is okay. See, to me that's supposed to like intentionally just be a Nazi Germany kind of parallel. I guess
Sea Raven. That's the answer.
Does the Nazi Ravens. Germany one has like a white, like it's red, but then there's white and then there's black, right?
If they added white to Fine Asian flags,
too close.
Whoa, come on now.
Yeah,
I mean. It's. I want to say two. Is I mean, it is what they are.
It's the idea.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I would never have guessed that. Not at all. No, that's crazy.
Where is the Freedom Fighters headquarters located? Like, that could be... Well, the answer to that question...
I guess I'm going to say near Omashu in the woods.
But like, do I say in the woods or do I say Earth Kingdom? Or can I say near a certain city? It just says trees. See, that, and I don't like...
Are you serious? That's the answer to that question is trees?
Yeah. Yes, trees.
Weird. All right. That's one where we would have to distinctly be like, yes, we will accept this. We will also accept that. Yes, we will also accept
that. There are dozens of answers to that question. When I make questions, 99% of the time, there's one answer you can give that I'm looking
which, as a former test development professional, is the right way to create a question. As my friend Neil would say, there's never a right answer. There's always a best answer. Which sounds really wise, but it's just a way that you write questions.
Less yeah, that's wise, a good one.
More pragmatic.
That's a good question. I might go through these first.
It might inspire ideas, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, all right. I'm gonna put this thing to bed together, and then go to bed. And my name's Sean. That guy over there with the full, thick head of hair and a well-groomed beard, that's Friday Chris Ford, which is one day after beard trimming day, if I'm not mistaken. No, you said Thursday. I already forgot.
It's Wednesday night, though. Oh, so I think yeah, you're still right.
Yeah, you're in a 36-hour well-groomed window, you know? That's Chris Ford, a.k.a. The Objective Geek. Thanks for watching Avatar The Last Podcasters. I'll put all the stuff in the description. If you can leave us any kind of positive interaction, like good reviews, comments, thumbs ups, clicking on bells, that's all great, and we appreciate all of it. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.